like it's never done. Night falls, smoke on the water, darkness closes in. Cold white hell in the deep will drown you for your sins.
How's it hanging? And welcome back to another great episode of Hanging with Heavy right here on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where you can check out all the great shows such as All Beer Inside, The European Uppercut, The Tuts Experience, One Up Club's Heads Up, Lou Chat, CFL Easy Picks, What's on Fight, Eurovision Showcase, Legends on Siren FM, TTN at the Movies, Shut the Fuck Up, and my other show, Wrestling Cheers, which you can find on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please rate and review, and as well as subscribe to Wrestling Cheers on those platforms. And this is, like I said, Hanging with Heavy, a podcast where we look inside the mind, the heart, the day, the life of the man known as Heavy Set, and I am Heavy Set. I am that man that we are about to talk about, well, I'm about to talk about, and you are about to listen to. Thing that I ask every single weekend, how was your weekend? Actually, technically, first thing I ask every week is, how's it hanging? But when I get into this part of the show, you know, how was your weekend? Never get any responses to that at HeavySet330 or at Hanging with Heavy. Never, ever get responses to that. But how was your weekend? Now, I'm recording this on a different day. I'm recording this on a Wednesday. Now, why am I recording this on a Wednesday? Because as of this recording, tomorrow night is the kickoff of the NFL season. And I am a very big fan of not only, you know, my teams and, you know, the entire sport, that I always try to sit down and watch the first game of the season or listen to the first game of the season when I was over the road, because I love football and I love football coming back and all the stuff that I'm about to be involved in. And I know, like I've said before, come November and come December, I'm going to be sick of it, but I'm not quite sick of it yet. And without doing NFL Easy Picks this year, that could be a very big deal for me where I'm not going to be as tired of it. But that's why I'm recording on a Wednesday evening. So what are my plans for this weekend? Actually, I should get into last weekend of how my weekend was. Well, let me see. I always forget Friday night and any plans that we might have, or any plans that happened. I think except for the fair, that's the only time I mentioned anything that I did on a Friday night. But actually, not this past Friday. Actually, no, it was this past Friday. I'm getting my, I've said that before, like how I record and what I'm talking about, it all gets kind of clustered. But my plans for last Friday, I didn't talk about. Obviously, I work, and afterwards, me and my girlfriend went to this Japanese, Chinese-type buffet restaurant in Streetsboro, Ohio. It's called Fun Buffet, and they have sushi there. And I had just been in a mood for a nothing but sushi dinner. I have yet to be able to do that up until this point. And technically I did, but I didn't. We did go there about an hour before closing, so they stopped really making a lot of fresh food for the buffet. So pretty much what they had was pretty much what they had. They weren't going to make any more. And my favorite sushi is the Philadelphia roll, mainly because it has a little bit of cream cheese in it to help get used to everything, to get used to the flavor. But, and I'm not even sure how sushi snobs might look down on me on that, but it's helped me get into sushi. And what I end up doing, because there's a lot of other different kind of sushi, I had them all. I don't care what they look like, I still had them. They weren't also, because they weren't grouped right, because they were putting them together from what they had left of certain portions of the different kinds of sushi, because like I said, it was a buffet. So my first plate, nothing but sushi. My second plate was sushi, and then a little bit of General Tso's chicken. Now, if they had like one Philadelphia roll, I'm talking like a full roll of about six pieces of sushi, I would have just got that. but there wasn't as many good flavors or types that I wanted or looked appetizing. So still, I mean, a good portion of my meal was sushi, and then I did have a little bit of dessert. And then after that, me and my girlfriend went to Walmart, did our normal shopping. And then we led on to Saturday. Saturday, we were planning on going to the zoo, but we didn't take account for weather, and I didn't even think about that. I mentioned, like, financial situation, and turns out, like, we were going to be fine, but we forgot about weather. And the weather Saturday was, you know, light rain here and there, gloomy, cloudy, never a hardcore downpour, but still, we didn't want to risk it, so we skipped the zoo in general. I did have a maintenance appointment for my car, like I think I mentioned, 5,000 miles, the first 5,000 miles I've taken with this car, and actually, when I got there, it was over 5,000 miles, but still, and I gotta double-check the sticker when the next one's due, but after that, we were like, all right, let's figure out what we're gonna do. We were gonna do a little bit of driving around, but then she needed to do some clothes shopping at the mall, so we went there. She got that all covered, and like while we were there, I'm like, all right, you know, I have my particular places that I like to go at the mall, and normally it's Hot Topic, FYE if it's still there, Spencer's if it's still there. Sometimes I like to look into a Build-A-Bear if they have it, just see what cool things I got. And almost every mall has a Hot Topic, at least in this area. Even some of the shittier malls have a Hot Topic. So what ended up happening was went in Hot Topic, and they had a huge selection of Bullet Club merch. And if you go over to my personal Twitter, at HeavySet330, you can see a picture that I tweeted out about it that was favorited by multiple members of the Bullet Club. And actually, the picture was used by Cody Rhodes in another tweet talking about how they got their own section at this one. Because like I said, there was just so much Bullet Club stuff. They had the hoodie that I already have, a bunch of shirts that I already have, the Hot Topic exclusive, which I bought. All four pins, which I bought two. My girlfriend bought the other two for me. And I also rebought two other shirts because I don't know if I've talked about it on here, but I've gained weight. And eventually it's something that I'm going to address more and be a little more conscious about and try to lose it. But a lot of my shirts that are 2X don't fit the same way anymore. And I need to get a 3X because they're a little bit looser. And I don't feel like I'm wearing the skin of a grape. And, you know, it could easily just burst. So rebought the Bullet Club shirt, and I also rebought Kenny Omega shirt. They would have had Cody Rhodes' American Nightmare shirt in 3X, which is another cool thing. Every time I go to Hot Topic, normally their shirts go up to about a 2X. That's it. I don't think I've ever seen a 3X up until last weekend, and they actually had 3Xs. And that's the other thing when it comes to wrestling merch at Hot Topic. I could be stereotyping here, but you know, most of the people that go to Hot Topic are skinnier. Most of the people that listen to those types of bands are skinnier. Yes, it's not out of the realm for, you know, a bigger guy, you know, 2X to go in there. But I feel like most of the people that go in there and buy a lot of those stuff are skinnier. Whether even, like, I even go in a lot for Doctor Who stuff. Most of those are smaller sizes. Most of the music, you know, the punk bands that are there are people I see walking out wearing them a lot are skinnier. I remember for Christmas stuff, you know, skinny bitches. Well, when I found that they had 3X shirts, I was shocked. And that's why I picked up the shirts that I did. And I actually have a Hot Cash, which is a thing where Hot Topic gives you, like, you spend so much money, they give you these, like, free coupons that are worth so much money. And I got four $15 coupons, basically. So I'm planning on buying a couple more shirts, and I don't know if I'll go into a store and buy them, or whether I'll buy them online, because you can use them online. And I might rebuy that Cody Rhodes American Nightmare shirt, and there's a couple other, but I think I'm gonna have to go through Pro Wrestling Tees to get a lot of the other stuff. I do want to get the Villain Club pin too, and I want to get, which I might get two, and I also want to get another Bullet Club pin, because I have one pin on my work lanyard. Then after we left the mall, we went to Orrville, Ohio, where there is a Schmucker's store there, and I had always wanted to go here. Within the area, I actually learned how to drive semi. The first place that I drove the truck was literally right in front of it. At first, we went around this circle way, way down the road from it in Orrville, and it's basically this kind of industrial type of road where it's just one big circle, and that's where we learned how to shift. Then when we were all done, we took it on the road, and I drove right past this Schmucker store. And it's sits a little bit farther back. It's in a, like a barn thing, barn looking building. And I'd always told myself, I'm going to go. And it's been literally 4 years since I got my CDL at the end of August. So it's like, screw it, we're in the area, let's go. We were going to go in a couple weeks, but I was like, screw it, let's go. They had a lot of Schmucker stuff, obviously a lot of other types. There was a lot of other brands too, like they had some Jif stuff. They had Milk-Bone section for dogs, and there was like whatever bigger company owns Schmuckers, they had, I think they had a lot of stuff in there. And the only two things that I came out with were S'mores K-Cups, which I don't even have a Keurig right now, but it's a preparation for when I do, and cashew butter, which when I grew up, I loved cashew butter. And the size jar that they had, there was like however big it was, but they also had the same sizes in peanut butter and almond butter. The peanut butter one was like 2-something. The cashew butter was like 6-something. The almond butter, same size, 9-something. It's like, holy fuck. Never really looked at almond butter before, but I'm not really a big fan of almonds. And that was our day at the Schmucker's store. And hopefully we'll go back here soon. There's a bunch of other stuff that we saw that we wanted, but we're like, we can come back soon. So we'll come back soon. Like, there were two different kind of apple butters that I wanted to try. So that's definitely on my list. Then we went to a wrestling show. We went to Ohio Championship Wrestling live at Buzzbin, which you can hear a lot more about that on this past episode of Wrestling Cheers. But while I was there, I got some interviews in for Wrestling Cheers for a couple weeks for this show called the Dustin Batdorf Invitational. And I think it's the 6-1, and it's going to be the second weekend of October. And basically, it's a charity event to help raise awareness and funds for drug addiction. Not funds for drug addiction, but no, helping this charity, like giving money to the charity to help them for the things that they do throughout the year and whatnot, and help provide awareness for a horrible, horrible epidemic in my area and in Ohio of heroin. Like, actually, something I haven't really talked about on this show is I have a friend who's actually in jail, prison, for technically dealing heroin or selling somebody heroin, but at the same time, and it's one of the catch-22s that I think about the whole thing, and it's mainly because of my friend and watching all the stuff that he went through with his court case and whatnot. And here's the story of it. My friend Brian, and I actually forget the other guy's name off the top of my head, let's just call him Scott. I'm pretty sure that wasn't his name. But these two did drugs all the time together. And far as what I was told, they would go back and forth from buying it. Like, one time, one person would buy it, next time, another person would buy it. And then, you know, like I said, go back and forth. And one day, they went and got high at the local grocery store in the stall, which I think they snorted heroin. And Scott OD'd. My friend Brian panics under pressure a lot. And I could give you stories of personal type that he always just cracks under pressure. And this was one of those instances, and being so scared that, you know, he could, which is weird to look at it, look back at it. He was so scared of being caught with it, being caught high, that he left him, and he left him to die. And I'm pretty sure I know how he was. He didn't like, ha ha, I'll let him die. He was probably freaking out. And they were looking for him all weekend, and he ended up I don't know if he was arrested or turned himself in, I can't remember. But a whole big court case. And the family wanted to point the finger at him for letting him die, which isn't right. By no means is it right. But I also think it's not right to blame somebody who was also addicted. They were both addicts, and he didn't have the proper reaction when he was high. And far as I understand about Scott and his life is the family knew that he was addicted. The family were also a bunch of, I was told that they were drug addicts, but at least they were all alcoholics and all that kind of stuff. But this is just what I've said. This is what I've heard. I've never really spoken to the people, but they blame him for his death. And also, he had a baby on the way. There's a point where I believe that you have to blame the person doing the drug. If the roles were reversed and Brian were to die and Scott would have lived, I wouldn't blame Scott. I wouldn't have blamed him for my friend who was an addict dying of an overdose. I'm a huge fan of Chris Farley. And for many years, I always thought Chris Farley could have been saved by the prostitute that left him. Over the years, I realized that he could have, but the problem was bigger. There was actually other things in his life, and just not getting into Chris Farley, that really could have saved him and how he was in and out of rehab. If one of those times he was in rehab, he would have stayed. And if whenever he did die, because actually it was supposed to be his one last one binge, and then he was going to go straight and narrow for this movie role that he was going to be doing soon. So I wouldn't blame anybody for my friend dying of drugs, because that was his life. That's something that he, for some reason, wanted to commit himself to, wanted to be a part of that. I never wanted to be. The only thing I've ever done is smoked weed. Smoked weed and drink alcohol. That's it. I haven't smoked weed in like 9 years. And with my current job, I'm not going to be smoking weed in any time in the near future, or as long as I'm working as a truck driver, because of all the drug tests that I am subject to them every 2 years right now. And I can get popped for random every so once in a while. I don't want to risk it. It's my job. So, like I said, that's all I've ever done. And it's kind of a controversial thing that I have, like an opinion, going back at some of the things that I was talking about. And basically, I think a lot of people who sell it are users. So you will get so many people like my friend who's in jail for selling it, but not necessarily selling it, but providing it. And he was an addict too. I actually need to sit down and write him a letter. I know what prison he's at, and oddly enough, I drive by that prison every day on my route, and when I found out what prison he was at, I actually tried to find out if I was on the visitor list, and I wasn't. So I need to get a hold of him and arrange a visit, arrange a phone call, have him call me up. My number hasn't changed since I got my first cell phone, because I had one when I was in high school, and then, which was actually my sophomore year, my junior year, and then after that was it. Then after my senior year, I bought a prepaid cell phone, a Virgin Mobile cell phone, and ever since then, like August or September of 2005, I've had one number, and a lot of people, it's really an easy number, so they always know how to get a hold of me. So I need to arrange a phone call with him or something. But getting off track, the Dustin Batdorf Invitational, the sixth, or DBI 6. It's a great show, and there will be more about it on Wrestling Cheers here at the end of this month, the 29th of this month, when the episode will release. And I'm really looking forward to it. I got all the interviews recorded of the people that were on it. They were sharing it here. Didn't really get much depth on Wrestling Cheers about it. I got No Shame Jimmy Shane. It's a real tongue twister. Sometimes I say it and I think to myself, did I say it right? No Shame Jimmy Shane. Also got Robbie Starr, the OCW champion, Matt Taylor, and the man who's behind it all, actually the brother of Dustin Batdorf, Juice Jennings, because that's where it all started 6-7 years ago. I think it was about 6 years ago. He passed away. It was an overdose. And they decided to create this show, and it ended up leading to the charity organization. I think it's called Solace of Stark, which is the county, Stark County, Solace of Stark County. And I guess, you know, that's a big charity thing. And almost all centers around this wrestling show. No wrestlers get paid. They're volunteering their time. And everybody, the other thing too, when you whether you're on the show or whether you buy a ticket, you get a t-shirt. And I'm a fan of t-shirts. Currently just totaled up my, I'll have a part of the show about this, so this might be a weird two-episode show, but I actually counted up my t-shirts this weekend, because I bought the Bullet Club stuff, and I did laundry. I was just in the mood, I need to count them, because I get off count, because I buy shirts, I get WWE Slam Crate, and all this stuff, and sometimes it adds up, and I don't know how many I have. Well, I've changed my count now to not just shirts, but wrestling wearables, as I put it in my phone. And I have 242 shirts. I have 4 hoodies, 2 hats, 2 beanies, 1 coat, and necessarily the mail, but within the next month, I should be getting that from Pro Wrestling Tees. I bought a Bullet Club coat, 2 bandanas, and 5 wrestling-related pins, which gives me a total of 258 items. Now, this next list that I'm going to go over really quick is a little off, and I'll explain, because normally I have what I call half shirts, and that is if I buy something, let's say I buy, okay, I'll use one of my examples that I have here. I have Kevin Owens. One of the shirts I have for him is a Johnny Gargano and Kevin Owens, or Kevin Steen, shirt for a tag team that they had called Panda Express. Well, I count that as a half shirt, half for him and half for Gargano. Now, I have the Bullet Club on here, and I don't have them properly divided yet, so it's a little off, but not by too much. I have my top 6 now. I have 8 Dolph Ziggler shirts, 9.5 Marion Fontaine shirts, or items, because I'm about to get into some of the stuff that it's not necessarily a shirt, but wearables. I have 13.5 Gregory Iron wearables, also 13.5 Johnny Gargano wearables, 15.5 Kevin Owens, which for the longest time was the highest until I bought all this Bullet Club stuff and I actually started counting it up. And Bullet Club is at 21. Now, that's not properly divided up like Kenny Omega. I have a Kenny Omega shirt, but I would count that as half Kenny Omega, half Bullet Club. Ironically, I have a version of both, so that counts as one for both. I mean, a whole one between the two. So, yeah, back again to the Dustin Batdorf Invitational Tournament. Everybody, like I said, everybody who shows up gets a free shirt. I'm all for free shirts. I'm all for giving money to a charity. It's a free show. A lot of the people, especially if the wrestlers are given their time to do the show, and some of them show up multiple years, you know, if they can do it, they're going to do it. And that's one thing I absolutely love about the show. So I got all those interviews, and you will hear the full thing on September 29th on Wrestling Cheers. Have yet to edit them all together. It's going to be very short because I only got no more than like 10 minutes from each person. Some people was around 7. So it was like quick interviews back and forth. I don't know 100% a lot about all the wrestlers that I interviewed. Like I've been going to OCW more and I know about them through that, but I'm not as engaged with some of them. Like you can tell the two that I'm engaged with the most were Jimmy Shane and Juice Jennings. The other two I know of, and actually Robbie Starr, like just recently like added me on, I think, Facebook or followed me back on Twitter or something. So like it was recently that he has learned who I am and just learning my face from now on. But we went to that show, me and my girlfriend both, and it, like I was explaining about the weather, it was supposed to be an outdoor show, but because of how, you know, the rain was on and off, and you know, we didn't know how bad it was going to get, it ended up being an inside show. But that helped add to the intimacy. It was you know, a little bit more jammed in there, so felt good. It was very fun. I don't think they liked it because they had to change in a small like locker room now, but it was a fun night. And that was, if I'm correct, pretty much our Saturday night. We also tried out a place called Fazoli's, which is like an Italian place. I don't know whether it's just in Ohio or how far spread it is. I think it might go past Ohio, but there's not many around, and it's basically like a almost like Italian fast food, but not necessarily like Pizza Hut. Like you go up and order your meal, and then you sit down at a table, and they'll bring it to you. So it was pretty good. I can't complain too much about it. And then Sunday, the only thing I think we really did was go to a cookout at her parents. One thing we did try was two Not Your Father's drinks, because make the long story short on it was people were bringing beer to the bonfire. We didn't really have anything, and she was in the mood to try the Not Your Father's cream soda, and I was in the mood to try the version of like Not Your Father's Mountain drink, I think it's called. But you know, it's basically an alcoholic version of Mountain Dew. Went to a gas station, the closest one, they didn't have either. We went to the grocery store across the street from there. They only had mine. Hers was all out. So we went to the same grocery store in the next town over and where I'm living. And it's a much bigger store. And normally they have just ample amount of like stuff like that. So I figured they'd have it. Turns out, yes, they did. They had both. And we ended up bringing it back. And I mean, that was pretty much our night. Just hanging out there. Having some s'mores. Had some hot dogs on the grill before all that happened. So kind of a normal Sunday. And then Monday, I want to say we did nothing. And that was the plan, kind of. Cleaned my room a little bit. I know that. But honestly, can't think of anything else I did Monday. Very, very long weekend. And now on to this week. And what are our plans for this weekend? Well, it turns out I might be working on Saturday, which is very rare for me. And I'm trying to do it where I can work early and get back early so I can still have a decent day where I don't feel totally out of a weekend day. So at least I'm going to get some type of day in like that. So I was before I recorded, actually I did take a small break during the segment and did get a text that I can deliver early, or I can deliver a load if my truck is connected to one. Just deliver it straight. So, I mean, it's you might not understand everything, a little aspects about that, but all good for me and my weekend. And then hopefully Saturday, maybe Sunday, we will go see it. So at this point, my girlfriend will be dead from seeing Oh, and that's one thing we did on Saturday. We watched the first It. basically, I forgot the ending of the movie. I haven't watched it in years. And I forgot Pennywise, the clown, turns into a spider. Or turns out to be a spider. That's two things my girlfriend hates. Absolutely hates clowns and spiders. The only thing missing is a banana, because she hates the sight, the taste of a banana. Yes, those people do exist. Like, she literally would throw up at the thought of a brown, bruised banana. Now, as my girlfriend's listening to this, she's going, probably about to throw up, and she's probably going to text me right now telling me how much she hates me, but I love you. Yes, I totally forgot about that. And then it's long. The original, I forgot how long it was too, because it was originally a TV, made for TV miniseries. So she hated it. And then this weekend, like I said, we're going to go see the new one. Hopefully we'll have our movie passes in and we have seen it like that. If not, you know, we'll see it Saturday after I get off work, or we'll see it Sunday after the game, because that's the other thing, which kind of like, we almost have to see it Saturday because Sunday, I love football. Like I said earlier in the show, I'm going to watch I'm going to watch it. As you have listening to this, I have already watched the Thursday night game, and I'm really, at this point, looking forward to it. And then there's Sunday. There was like I think 2 years ago, I just laid on the couch and watched every game that was on TV. I mean, like one for every time slot. So I had the 1 o'clock game, the 4 o'clock game, and the Sunday night game. And it felt great. That's when I know football's back, and I wore my jersey all day, and I'll be wearing my personalized jersey, and I'm actually going to get good ducked out on brown stuff for the season opener, the home opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's going to be fun. And those are my only plans for this weekend. Now, this opening segment has gotten a little bit longer than usual, but I had one other thing that happened this past weekend, and it's getting its own segment. And unfortunately, this will be where we end the show on the segment. I don't have a third segment planned because I literally talked about two of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I didn't think I could turn a whole segment into my wrestling shirts. I mean, like I said, they are alphabetized and all. But recently on this show, I've ranted about stuff in the middle segment, and this would be the equivalent of the middle segment. But this time, I'm going to reflect. So, join me as you will with this.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Oh, beautiful release. Memories seep from my veins. Let me be empty. Some peace tonight in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here, from this dark, cold hotel room and the endlessness that you fear. You are poor.
I received a text last Friday that my roommate's dog had to be put down. As I've said before, I've lived with my roommate for almost 3 years now. And the past two, it has just been him and I in this house with our two dogs. Two men in the same house with our female dogs at that. It's very sad when you have to put down your dog. And I think it's something that a lot of us animal lovers have been through, where we had to put down our dog. As of right now, I'm recording this with Zul snoring in her cage. I don't think it's being picked up on the microphone, but I love Zul. She's my little baby. I don't have any kids as of right now. And, my love for Zul, she was the dog that I bought over the road, the dog that I bought 3 weeks or so after my breakup. She became my companion, one of my best friends. She was there for me for some good times, and she was there for me for my bad times so far in my life. And the fact that my roommate had to put his dog down was very sad. I have grown somewhat attached to Lexi. She wasn't necessarily my favorite dog, because she was definitely her daddy's girl. And we have this alarm system in the house, so whenever you open the door, it makes a noise for the alarm, so someone's opening a door. And every time she would hear it, she'd bark. It became a little bit annoying when, you're bringing in groceries, or you're running out to get the mail and coming back in, and whatever things were, every time you open the door, she'd bark. And there are times she would get territorial with Zul, and I didn't like it. But all in all, there's many times I'd come home and I'd give Zul some lovin's, and I'd give some Lexi some lovin's. Zul never really liked it when I was doing that. I always had to, pet Lexi with one hand and then keep Zul over away from her with my other hand, because she likes to, someone's getting attention or another dog's getting attention, she's like, no, my turn. And she tries to sneak in there. So I would show her love. Many times I would, sit with her. I remember one time in particular, I came home, and this is when I was keeping Zul in a cage, because she would kind of mess up stuff if I was gone. And she shit in her cage. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to clean it out, because it was all the way in the back, and then I had to spray it all out and all this kind of stuff. And right before all that, I got home, I decided to stop at McDonald's and buy myself some nuggets, 20-piece chicken nuggets. By the time I cleaned it all out, and I think cleaned her up, they were cold. I put Zul back in the cage, or put Zul in my room, and I sat in the living room eating the chicken nuggets, and Lexi was right there with me. There's another thing that I really loved about Lexi was, like I said, she was her daddy's girl, my roommate. She loved her dad. She would bark if they were apart, if she was in the yard and he went into the garage, or he, walked out of her vision, she would bark a lot. And there was this flip side to that coin where she'd have this big smile. Now, I don't remember the type of breed she was, but she always had this big smile on her face when she was with him. Whether he was taking her for a ride, for a walk, or whether she was just sitting on the couch with him, just this big smile warmed my heart every time. And my roommate had her for a while too. She was getting up there in age, and she was having health problems. And basically, what ended up happening was, she's been acting weird for a couple weeks, and she's had some minor health things over the past year. Nothing too serious, and they ended up finding out, she was acting weird last week, and they ended up taking her to the vet and found out she had a mass in her stomach, and it spread to some other organs, and then it had ruptured, and it had caused internal bleeding. And they, like I said, they had decided they were going to put her down because of it. This to me reminds me of my first dog. I don't talk about him too much, and I haven't had many dogs. I've technically had a small number, but the amount of dogs that have been in my life where they were kind of like my dog or were my dog were 4 in my entire lifetime. 3 of them are still alive. 1 is no longer in my life because it was an ex-girlfriend's dog. Obviously, Zul's another one of them that's still alive, and the other one is my mom's dog, which I got from an ex-girlfriend, and when we broke up, I got to keep her. And then it turned into another dog for my mom. But my first dog was named Coco. I'd always wanted a dog. Didn't have any type of pet until I was in 5th grade. And actually, if I'm correct, I was in 5th grade for the second year because I had failed. Been trying to convince my parents to get some sort of dog. They didn't want to get anything that shed. And now as an adult, having a dog that shed, I kind of understand why. But the compromise we were able to make was a poodle. Our neighbors had a poodle, and I loved him. And their doggy was named Jakey, or Jake. Black poodle. Black toy poodle. One of my favorite stories that I remember telling from around that time period, I should say, is you can look at it from a religious point of view, or you can look at it from a non-religious point of view, and I will just speak in the non-religious point of view because I feel it speaks to everybody, or speaks to more people. And that's what destiny. So when something's truly meant for you, at that time, the only way I could look for a dog was in our local newspaper. And I remember at one point there was a free poodle in the paper, and it was at the Kent Police Department. I called on Friday. They told me to call back Monday. I called Monday, and someone had already claimed him. I was really heartbroken because of that. Not that long later, maybe a couple months or 3 months later or so, was at the end of January, almost the beginning of February, I seen an ad in the paper for a poodle. It was two poodles, a female and a male. One was black and the other one was chocolate. I think the female was black, the male was chocolate. I really wanted a black poodle like my neighbors. So it's kind of wanting that one, but at the same time, I wanted a boy. And we ended up going over to this breeder after church one day. I believe it was February 1st. I'll look up the year because it was obviously on a Sunday, and I want to say it was 1997, I want to say. So about over 20 years ago. No, it was 1998. Looking at the year and remembering some of the things in my head, it was February 1st, 1998. And like I said, we went over there and seen the dog. I remember them bringing out Coco. Obviously, I got the boy because I was going to name a black poodle Coco. I fell in love with him. He was only like a month and a half old. Not even 2 months. He was a little puppy. Like, I had a starter-like jacket at the time, and I remember he was so small, I could, like, put him in, like, the big pocket. And we ended up buying him. He was, like, $350 or so, $325. And at the time, I was like, oh my god, that's a lot of money for a dog. Then I learned how much dogs really cost. I'm like, oh my god, we didn't spend that much money on a damn dog. This is crazy. But my parents were told a story while we were there. Maybe it's when I took Coco out. But I guess someone had already come for him, and they wanted him. But when they got there, they thought he was too small or something, and he ended up buying one of the other dogs, one of the other older dogs. I don't know if that was like an older dog or just, you know, obviously not a puppy. And he could have walked out with Coco. He could have left with him, but he didn't. It was definitely one of the things we were meant to be. And I had Coco from 1998, and he was born right around Christmas 1997, and I had to put him down February of 2014. This ended up being the same year that me and my ex broke up. But, you know, talk about what a year. Two heartbreaks happening. I'd wanted to put Coco down for a couple years because his age was starting to show. His eyes and vision were going. It wasn't the dog that I grew up with. It wasn't even the dog of 5 years prior. Coco in 2009 was different than the Coco in 2014. I'd probably been saying since 2012, 2011, maybe even into 2010, I said, like, he's starting to get bad. Hey, Mom, we need to put him down. My mom was just completely in denial about it. And she kept telling me that she was worried that, like, this is how I was going to treat her because my mom is, you know, in her 60s and she's getting older and she has health issues. And it's like, well, if the dog has health issues, you know, I have health issues, you know, are you going to put me down and all this stuff? And I'm like, explain to her, it's not the case. And I'll never forget when I was over the road, probably right around January of 2014, I get a call from my mom, or I'm on a phone call with her, and she finally seen the light. She's like, Coco is getting really bad. I think we have to put him down. And like his vision had been gone for a long time. He had these like lumps on his body that I'm not exactly sure where they came from. Moles growing or wart, not warts, but definitely moles growing in certain spots. And he had started losing patches of fur. So what I did was, and my mom didn't want to go, and I completely understand. With her health condition, I don't know if she could have handled watching him go. And I wrapped him up in a blanket that I had made for my mom. I believe it's what's called a tapestry blanket. Or, you know, they put in like pictures that you want on the blanket. So I had one made of him before he started to get really, really bad. And I had it made for my mom for Mother's Day. So I took this blanket of him and I wrapped him up with it. I grabbed some Velveeta cheese, or also no, Kraft cheese, because he loved cheese. One of those dogs that you could, you know, as soon as he heard the cellophane wrapper, he would come running. His hearing never really, really left him when it came to that kind of stuff. So I grabbed him, a slice or two, and then on the way I fed him, and I gave him his last meal. Oddly enough, he had been to the same vet his whole life. They have changed their name once or twice, and they had actually built a new building right next to the old one. And he was actually born at that same vet from the previous owners. Oddly enough, the vet that we ended up going to were the same vet that he was born at. And this was the first time in the new building. And I took him in, said that what I wanted done. They took us into a room, and we waited, and the vet came in. To this day, just thinking about this kind of tears me up, so I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't think I'm going to bawl or cry, but it's definitely going to tear me up. And it still does after almost 4 years. And, you know, they restrained him. They, you know, let him have him lie down, calm down. And, you know, they officially put him down, whatever you want to call it, of them putting the shot into him. And I just watched his life go. He didn't have a lot of life as is. But I watched within seconds that last little bit of life slip away. And I'll openly admit, I spent a good, probably about 10 minutes in that room alone because they did give me some alone time, and I cried. Because he was my little buddy. He was my first dog. At that time in my life, when he passed, I had my mom's dog, and then I had my ex's dog in my life. And I used him, my ex's dog, to help me recover. Recover from that whole ordeal, because at least he was here and he loved me. And oddly enough, I didn't watch the movie Marley and Me because I heard how, you know, it is for people who have dogs and who have lost dogs. Coco was close to death when that movie came out. He still had a couple more years before we put him down. Maybe about 4 or 5 years. But I was like, all right, I'm not going to watch this then. I'm going to wait till he dies. And luckily enough, my ex had it on DVD, and I watched it alone later. Shortly after, probably a day or two later. And even that night, I can't remember. And bring it full circle. Then later on that year, when me and my ex broke up, more on that in the future. But 3 weeks later, I bought Zool. Because I wasn't fully over Coco being put down. I mean, I could live, I can do everything, but it was nice having that dog there. And that's half the reason why I bought Zool. And she's my little baby, like I've said before. I try my best to spoil her. Sometimes it backfires on me. And even back in it, bringing it back full circle once again, knowing that my roommate had to go through this, I know the feeling. And I wouldn't be surprised if my feeling that I have when Zool dies, it might be a little bit more intense than when Coco died, because Zool is mine. Zool is attached to me. Zool is my first dog that is completely in love with me. Like that daddy's girl type thing. Coco, I don't know, I always felt like we all had different jobs in his life. I was the person he played with. My dad was the person he cuddled with. My mom was the person he went to for food. My ex's dog, whose name was Baby, or Baby Girl, which we got it from her sister, who's at least 10 years old at this point. She had some time where she was really attached to me and loved me, but I don't know. Maybe because I wasn't there when she was a puppy or close to a puppy, and we never had that intimate of a connection. And then there was my ex's dog. He was a mama's boy. Hands down, mama's boy. And especially I was the one that always had to punish him because she just wanted to yell at him and act like that was going to solve everything. Like, no, sometimes for a dog, you have to hit him. Hit him in the butt. I mean, yeah, yelling's going to get so far, but if they're really bad, you have to at least put one hit on him, like on the butt. She never really liked that, but then I got Zool. And this dog loves the fuck out of me just as much as I love the fuck out of her. Going back to when I was talking earlier about Lexi, and she'd always bark when you'd open the door, and that sound would go off. Now when it happens, she doesn't bark. And I call it a moment of silence, and I think about it every time I open the door. Like I said, she annoyed me sometimes, but she was a good dog. And normally every morning, I would let Zool and I'd let Lexi out. As I'm getting ready for work, they go out and do their business, and then I bring them back in and give them treats. Sometimes Lexi would be a complete pain in the ass and just want to walk around the yard for, like, ever. And I had to, like, yell at her, like, come inside, like, I need to get to work. Friday, she didn't come out. She sat in my roommate's office by her bed. And I knew she wasn't feeling too good and acting kind of weird. So I let Zool out, brought her back in, gave her a treat, put her back in my room, and then went downstairs. Something odd told me, go give Lexi some lovin's. So I did. I pet her, told her she was a good girl, and left for work. Little did I know that would be the last time I would see Lexi. It's amazing how much animals touch us. It is amazing how much even the hardest of hearts, like myself, how much I love my dog, and how much I cried like a bitch when Coco died. It's something that every animal owner knows that they have to go through, and I think no matter what, it never gets easier. So, rest in peace, Lexi. And I hope my roommate eventually gets another dog. It doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow, next week, or next month. But I know at the end of the year when I move, or by the end of the year when I move, I want there to be somebody else, some other animal in his life. I don't want him to be here alone. So hopefully that happens. I hate ending the show on this particular note, but might as well wrap it all up and let's get into some of the plugs for this particular show. Well, if you want to tweet me, you can tweet me at Heavyset330. You can also tweet the show at HanginWithHeavy. Looking for questions to be asked here on this very show here in a couple weeks. So please hit up hashtag AskHeavyset, A-A-S, or A-A-S. I'm fucking up my own hashtag. Hashtag A-S-K-H-E-A-V-Y-S-E-T. You can put in the Twitter handles. It doesn't necessarily matter. When I do the episode, I'm just going to look at hashtag AskHeavyset. So no tweeting me questions without the hashtag. No DMing me questions. No, none of that. I don't care if I ask for it on a different platform. I'm asking you to use a hashtag. Hashtag AskHeavyset. Got three questions from Mr. Old School from Shut the Fuck Up. Some really good ones, and I can't wait to get into them. I've already had conversations with my girlfriend about all of them, and it's going to be interesting just on those three questions alone, but I want more. At least six or seven more. Seven more. And of course, listen to all the other great shows here on the brand new at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, like All Beer Inside, European Uppercut, The Tuts Experience, One Up Clubs, Heads Up, Blue Chat, CFL Easy Picks, What's on Fight, Eurovision Showcase, Legends on Siren FM, TTN at the Movies, Shut the Fuck Up, and my other show, Wrestling Cheers, which you can find on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please rate, review, and subscribe on those platforms. Check out some of my friends. We have Macho Men Radio, Chris Clem's Cavscast, Wingcast, a Wingman podcast, Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear, Pod Van Dam, Road Home from Wrestling, the Weekly Wrestling Podcast, and Moy Boy Designs. And I'll throw a bonus plug out there that some new shows that I've been listening to and having somewhat fun listening to. Sometimes when podcasts reach out to me or I see tweets of them, I might start listening to them because I don't want to be like the show that I mentioned last week in Big League People. So two podcasts I listened to this week, the Positively Pro Wrestling podcast, which was a very, very fun podcast. I listened to the past 2 weeks. Both episodes were under an hour. One was 33 minutes, which was with an interview with Carrie, aka WWE Squared Circle Guy, which a guy I've never really heard of, who was one of those super fans that goes to a lot of the big shows, and they talked about SummerSlam weekend and all the shows of that. And then, if you know me, they had episode 28, which was called Merchamania, and they talked about a lot of merch stuff, and I completely popped for that show. And then another show that I've been listening to, I popped in today, and I'm so on right now, is Beyond the Ropes, the podcast. You might want to check them out, too. They're a little bit needy and clingy on Twitter, always asking, like, questions and stuff. Like, to me, personally, after I said I listened to the episode, I get it. They don't seem like they have a lot of listeners. Fine, but don't overdo it. That's all I say as a fellow podcaster. Yeah, that will do it for me here on Hanging with Heavy. Catch everybody back here next week, and thank you for listening. Hanging with Heavy on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Whatever, I'm getting tired. So basically, I just want to end with, let's hang out next week. Heavy.